Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about, not only on Bravo, but beyond. I'm Ronnie Karam. Hello, everybody. Welcome, Ben Mandelker, the handsome, talented, fully coiffed Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi, I am fully coiffed and then some. Too much.
Mondays, am I right?
I grew so much hair over the weekend.
Welcome to Monday, everybody. It's Real Housewives of Potomac Day over here. This week is going to be a little bit different, so listen up to our schedule, damn it. And I'm going to mess this up, so thank God Ben's
okay.
Here.
I'm here to be your ombudsman. Okay.
Yeah, you see, he says things like ombudsman, so you can count on him. So yeah. Today, Real Housewives of Potomac. Tomorrow is going to be Below Deck Mediterranean. Wednesday is going to be the season finale of Selling Sunset. And Thursday will be, what will it be?
The Great British Bake Off.
And Friday will be Secrets Revealed for Real Housewives of New York City. So we are adding Great British Bake Off into this mix this week. So go watch it. It comes out on Friday mornings over on Netflix. And it's just, what a delightful little treat.
What a delightful show. I haven't watched it yet. I'm saving it up for when we record. But this week, we're recapping it on Thursday, but it's going to move to Wednesdays. It's going to take over Selling Sunset. So sorry you have to wait so many days, but it's just the way that the schedule is. It's just, you know, life. What can you do?
Yeah.
So I also want to give I also want to do a self-promotion plug, which is that I'm doing an IG Live with Danny Murphy. And that's going to be tomorrow at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, and just, you know, just come to my Instagram. You'll see it'll say like, you know, Ben's on an IG Live. You know, people are doing all these IG Lives all the time, so I'm getting involved. I mean, we've done ones with each other, Ronnie, but now I'm starting to IG Live other people. I hope you take it well.
We'll have fun with that fucker. So is this Danny Murphy, the English soccer player?
Well, that would be very exciting. No, this is Danny. He wrote an article once. I think was it for Harper's or something, where he quoted us about Vanderpump Rules back when people cared about Vanderpump Rules.
Oh yeah, that Danny Murphy.
So funny. He's so funny. So
he's a writer and humorist from Jacksonville, Florida, and he performed stand-up comedy in the 90s. Mm-hmm. I see him right here on the internet, and he's the social editor of Marie Claire.
Yeah,
Danny
Murphy, Marie Claire.
You handsome little bastard.
He's so funny. You should all follow his Instagram. His Instagram, I think, was it Instacashmere? It's something. It's funny. It's Cashmere Danny.
Well, why is LinkedIn making me do a verification? Fuck off, LinkedIn. You're useless.
By the way, talking about useless, you know what happened this weekend?
Okay.
Jackson Brittany had a baby gender reveal. Yo.
Was it herpes?
It was sadness.
Oh, little baby chlamydia. Welcome to the world, darling.
So that I had to announce that, because if I didn't announce it, people would say, aren't you going to talk about the fact they had a baby reveal or gender reveal?
Yes, gender. And also, did we talk about Teddy getting fired? Teddy Mellencamp has officially been fired. No, I think we were like, no. I don't want that to bleed into the day. Let's just not talk about it. But, you know, now some time has passed and she came out kind of crying on Instagram.
I actually liked her Instagram goodbye. She was like, yeah, I was fired. Hi, I'm Teddy. I was fired. She was like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Yeah, but she still has like such a victim. Like, I'm sorry if this Instagram bores you guys, but I'm fired. Shut up, Teddy. God.
I mean,
she is technically a victim in this. She did get fired, but still, shut up, Teddy.
I, you know what? For a moment, I was giving her props for not sugarcoating something, but then I remembered that like she literally will never sugarcoat anything. Otherwise, she'll have to pay herself $500.
Yeah,
it's been a bloodbath on Bravo this year. This has been like it's been insane. But at least we have Jackson Brittany's baby to remind us that. Like, our lives are rich and full of joy still.
Yeah. Someone posted a really funny meme that said, it's like Tom Sandoval looking really mad. And it says, me realizing season 15 of Vanderpump Rules is going to be about custody battles.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm, you know what, here's, I'm going to say, here's the one good thing about the pandemic. One good thing is I'm pretty sure it's going to prevent us from having some sort of like, I'm pregnant spinoff, you know, like, you know, because it's, I'm just hoping that's the case. I may have cursed it now.
Oh God, they better not have a panda, a spinoff of babies. Get out of here. No one watches for that.
No one watches it. No one cares. I'm over it. I'm done.
The only child I want on my TV is Melania today, okay? So cute. Okay, so here we are, guys. It's a big week on Real Housewives of Potomac. Big week.
Big.
Is Monique gone? Did she leave the show after this? I don't know. Reports vary.
Wow. Yeah, this is the big episode. This is the one that we've been hearing about. This is the big, big fight. I've been intrigued for many, many months. Earlier this weekend, Candace posted a tweet that was like, "Well, you're going to see it all, and it's raw, and it's raw." And I was like, "Okay, Candace." But I was like, "It actually was pretty raw. It was pretty raw."
You know what? It was literally raw because we finally got our question answered. Why is that raw cauliflower on the ground? Yeah.
And
there it was. It got like 10 close-ups today. That cauliflower comes out of nowhere and gets more screen time than the dough.
Yeah. Yeah, that cauliflower, I mean, let me tell you something. You can't spell crudité without rude. And that cauliflower really upstaged everyone, and it was rude.
It was. Okay, so previously, who cares, really? Okay, so everybody's fighting. We get close-ups on the cauliflower. And we've just seen the fight with...
Well, yeah, meaning that like we've seen the lead-up, right?
Yes, we've just seen like the... Well, yeah, it ended with the hair pull, right?
It ended with like, yeah, sort of like... But now we're really seeing it like really fleshing out, which is that like Candace is... Whatever she was saying. Was she saying drag me? I don't remember. But like Monique is like flipping the hair.
Yeah, she's saying drag me. Are you going to drag me? And she's like, do you want me to? Because Monique's way of fighting is just repeating something until you go crazy and poke your own eyes out. So she just says, do you want me to? And then it's on. She's flicking her hair. And then she grabs her hair and starts pulling her hair. And then the producers come in and everybody's screaming and yelling. And then Candace breaks her glass and starts swinging it at Monique, which...
But not before splashing some wine in her face, too. Candace did splash some wine on Monique's face. So it was like extra... You know, when your face is wet during a fight, it just sort of like heightens the intensity of it. So Monique's face was like all wet and she's grabbing. And then there's that broken glass swinging around.
Yeah, so she's swinging a broken glass around, which we don't really hear much of. But I guess it's because... I mean, it's self-defense, right?
Yeah.
So Monique won't let go. And this is where I got kind of surprised. Monique, damn.
Yeah.
Like, damn. I thought it was going to be somewhat innocent. I thought it was going to be like, she pulled her hair and they got pulled apart. They curse at each other. And then it's over and we're going to be like, oh, God, that was no big deal. But no, that's actually not what happened.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be in line with like Portia versus Kenya at the reunion. I thought it was going to be like there was going to be some activity, but it was like ultimately nothing too crazy. And I figured like going into the fight, my mindset was like, obviously, you know, don't condone violence. That's like the given. Don't condone violence. Then the next bullet point was going to be, but that being said, you know, Candace, like, she doesn't really know when to shut up. And she was the one who brought up this whole thing like, oh, well, you were pretending to be asleep. And then I was going to be like, well, and then Monique fell for the bait. So I was going to like sort of put the blame everywhere around. But then when it got that point where Monique like would not let go of the hair and everyone was surrounding and she just like would not release like a snapping turtle or something. I was like, ooh,
yes,
I'm going to have to give this one to Candace.
And like, you know, when this happens in a dog park, like the scariest thing, I used to be a dog walker. Okay. So I would go pick up all these dogs in a big van and take them to a park and the occasional fight would break out. And you know, those pit bulls are scary little fuckers. Okay. I have a half pit bull and I know you cannot get anything out of their jaws. Like once they snap down, they lock, there's something in there that's so strong. And the only way to get them off, and I learned this from a really crazy old lady, but it works, pull their tail, and then they're like, what?
Hey.
Hey.
Definitely.
Ha, my tail. But that, you know, obviously, Monique, you can't do that. So they were just trying to, like, unclench, and she wouldn't unclench.
It was very animalistic at that moment.
Wendy is squealing and squealing, and Candace's hair, once they finally do get her apart, Candace's hair, I mean, it's just, like, straight up in the air. It's crazy. It's
very Tina Turner in the 80s. It was just, like, it got a lot of volume really quickly.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, but Monique was like possessed in that moment, you know? And she's like, stupid bitch, talking all that mess and everything. And they just cut to Robin, and Robin's just doing a classic, like, face. And then she's just like trying to put the table back, because I don't know. Did you notice that the table was sort of like a plank that was attached to a barrel? And so, like, during the fight, the plank had rotated. And so Robin's, like, just putting the plank back. When I was, like, for some reason, I was like, that's so Robin to readjust the plank.
Yeah, Robin's like, don't spill my wine.
And I'm not even saying that in a bad way. I think I would also be very much concerned about that plank. I was like, if this rotates one more inch, it's all going to fall over. Yeah. I'm like, I would be that person who would also adjust it. But for some reason, it's, like, so funny to me that Robin is the one that adjusts the plank.
Yeah, and it's also a note to producers that if you're going to have people fighting, you need them on the same side of the table. Like, what did the barn do? You know what I mean? Like, stop ruining the barn. Like, have them on the same side. So yeah. Candace is screaming, get that hood rat ass bitch out of here, over and over again. And then she's like, is my wig on? is my wig on? And so she's screaming hood rat, and then we get a close-up of the person who's really hurting, the cauliflower.
The cauliflower. So
let's just take a moment.
Cauliflower's just lying there looking for its friends broccoli and cherry tomato, and it's like, I'm like on the floor, I can't get, we were in like a beautiful little plate together.
Yeah,
now we're not.
So you know, Monique is pulled into a hallway by one of the producers, and she's like, well, she wanted it to happen. I mean, you keep talking, that's what you want to happen. Is there wine in my face? Is that what's in my face? And then we get a close-up of the cauliflower again. They just love this cauliflower. And she's like, did she cut my face? Like, did she cut my face with her wine glass? So I guess she did get nipped.
I mean, it may have been the wine glass. I have no idea. So much happened there. I don't know where that blood came from. Because I know, I definitely saw while she was fighting. And then before she was even pulled away, like, Ashley during all this time has been in the bathroom. And so she comes back, and she even gets a chyron that says, Ashley returns from the bathroom, and she's like, what happened? The whole building is shaking. And she sees like when she left, there were a bunch of civilized women dressed very nicely, drinking wine and enjoying small hors d'oeuvres. And when she came back, Candace's hair is like a mess. There's like cauliflower on the floor. There's broken glass. She's like, what?
Producers running around. And it's fitting that she's dressed like a pilgrim, because I can imagine Ashley coming over on the Mayflower in her little pilgrim outfit, and she's like, we're just gonna have a nice dinner with our new neighbors. You go to the bathroom and you come back and all hell's broken loose.
Yeah, exactly. So then Karen goes over to Candace, and she's like, come over here for a second. Come over here. She's like, I'm fine. Well, they got your wig, damn it, they got your wig.
So then in the hallway, Monique's like, oh, you're saying drag me? Now you're baiting me. She wanted me to do it. And I flicked her hair. And honestly, I just don't remember what happened after that. I'm like, okay, are you the next cast member starring in Chicago? Because that literally happens in Chicago.
Seriously.
And then I can't remember anything else.
Yeah.
So then back with the ladies, Ashley's like, well, obviously she was very upset. And Karen's like, it wasn't the right time to push this conversation.
Yeah. Karen is like, I'm not going to, let's not throw her under the bus. I'm going to check on my friend, not you, Cauliflower. You're not my friend anymore.
And Robin's like, well, she's got a problem. And she's like, no, let's not throw her under the bus. I'm going to go check on her. So she tries to go into the hallway, and Monique is trying to open the door, but the producer's closing it. He won't let her out.
And it's like a moment of, it's like almost slapstick at this moment.
Yeah. That poor producer. He's really going through it. all the producers on this show, they're making you earn those paychecks right now. So she's trying to get out. Karen's trying to get, let us out, let us out, let us in, let us in.
James, the producer's like, who's opening this door? And she's like, it's Karen! Karen Huger, the grand dame! Now open the door. I need to check on Monique. Open the door!
Hold on!
And so, yeah, they're basically, like, so she's trying to get in, and then Monique's like, well, I'm trying, like, stop trying to push, I'm trying to pull it, stop trying to close it, I'm trying to open. Like, it's, in a way, it was like my favorite moment of the episode. I was like, Monique and Karen, like, what would happen if both of them put their hand on a doorknob at the same time and tried to open the same door? And this is what it was.
Yeah. And in the background, Candace is just screaming her head off. She's like, you're a ghetto ass hood ass bitch, and you don't know how to act. So she's going crazy. And James still won't let Monique out. And she's like, well, I'm going to beat her ass. That's what I'm going to do. She's been asking for this. I'm going to beat her. And he's like, please don't. Please just stay calm.
It's like your whole like blackout defense doesn't really work as well when then you announce that you're going to go back for round two. Like, it doesn't, it's not as strong when you do it that way.
Yeah, Monique has a really bad habit of confessing to things on camera. And she gets really, remember when she was like, her big driving drunk offense? She's like, well, I did have, listen, I only had like 10 glasses of wine or whatever she said. But basically she goes on camera and she's like, yes, well, I only had a few drinks. And then I fell asleep while I was driving. What's the big deal? Yeah, I was tired.
I was just so tired. I fell asleep while I was driving. She has real sleep issues. Her sleep patterns have gotten her into a lot of trouble, haven't they?
Yeah. She needs to not talk on camera when she's done something bad. Just don't talk, okay?
So then, so Giselle is basically like, goes to Candace and is like, let's get you out of the door. Here's a coupon for Arizona's. I'll see you there.
And Candace is like, I'm sorry, everybody, as she leaves. She keeps screaming
like,
ghetto.
Fine.
Yeah, she keeps screaming that Monique is ghetto. And then they're trying to put her into the car. And she's like, why am I the one being dragged into a car? And my favorite producer is like, listen, I need to make sure you are away in a car. Please, baby, please.
Yeah, he's like, it's about safety. Just get in the car, please. She's doing that thing. Yeah. He's like pleading. He's pleading. And Candace is doing that thing that I think all of our drunk friends have done as her, like after they've puked in the middle of the restaurant. I'm fine. I'm fine. Like, what's the problem? I know I'm fine. I'm totally fine. It's like, you literally just threw up on a waiter right now because you're not fine. I'm fine. I'm totally fine. It's like, get in the car and go home.
Yeah, so he is pleading with her to stay, and she won't. But then, meanwhile, Monique has left the service or the service stairs or whatever you call them, and she's gone out the back entrance. And now she's like running around the building to kick her ass. And the producer's still going, "It's about safety. Get in the car, baby. Get in the car, baby." And Monique runs around the side, and you just hear Ashley going, "Is that Monique running?" And then Monique charges.
This was like the climax of Deep Impact, by the way. This is like when Lily Sobieski had to leave her parents and hop on like that scooter with what's his face, the Hobbit, and like outrun the tsunami. This is what it was. It was like, get in the car, go, Candace, go, the wave is coming.
And Giselle's like, well, I'm not going out there. It's not my fight. I may have started it. I may have tried to start this whole thing, but hey, listen, I didn't throw any punches. So
I loved Wendy running outside because she's like running outside to be like, stop, stop. But she's like also wearing her coat on her shoulders. She's like, so she's sort of like being like very like sophisticated, but also trying to stop a fight. I really like that. I appreciated it.
Yeah. So Monique's like, let me go. And they're all holding her back. And they won't let her go. But finally they let her go and she goes back inside. And Karen's like, you're bleeding.
Ooh, Mama Karen is here. I'm going to save you. And Monique's like, where's my purse? And she's like, well, you better not bring her around me. I'm going to kill her. I'm going to kill her. I'm like, Monique, this is when you stop talking.
Yeah,
like,
again.
This is on the record.
Yeah, again, it's on camera, dum-dum. And so Robin's like, oh, look, now she's killing her. And Karen's wiping her mouth, Monique's mouth and stuff. And then in Candace's car, she's crying and calling Chris. And she's like, she's telling him what happened. And then Monique is telling Ashley and Karen, she said, you're going to drag me. And I said, okay, you want me to.
Yeah. Candace is telling Chris, she's like, so Monique just tried to fight me. Like, she was trying to fight me. I'm like, you guys did fight. Actually, you guys fought. There was broken glass. You were swinging broken glass. She cut her lip. Your wig was like upside down by the time it was over. You were in a fight, okay? You were in a fight.
And look, we're gonna say it probably a million times in this episode, you can't just hit somebody. Like, duh. Like, Monique is in the wrong period. But yeah. Candace, of course, is still a major asshole. And she's sitting there twirling at the girl's face and saying, come at me, come get me, come on. And how she's telling Chris, she's like, I mean, I just don't understand it. How could you be so mean to me when I have been your real friend? I'm just hurt. I just don't understand.
This crazy really? That comes out of left field. I don't get it. I'm like, see, Candace, this is why you get punched. And I'm not saying that in like you deserve it. I'm not, you know what, that sounded super victim shamey, so I'm sorry. I will retract that. But what I am gonna say is that like that she acts like it was just this lovely, beautiful time, and then Monique just flipped a switch. And it's like, no, you also contributed to a situation. It is ultimately on Monique, and Monique should never have punched. Monique should have walked away, or just should have been above your, you know, like your bratty behavior. But like, don't start like telling a story like, oh, you were just there and being the best friend ever. Like, that's not true.
Yeah, and it just sucks as a viewer because, you know, this viewer is rooting for Monique in general. I mean, I think Candace is a total jackass. Yeah, and totally. Then these past couple of episodes, Monique is really showing that she's just as at fault as this goes down. But then I'm still rooting for Monique just because she's the team that I've picked.
I mean,
and so when all this goes down, it's like, oh, wow, you just gave her what she, you know, you just gave her all the ammo she needs. You know, totally handed her a win by getting physical.
It was a total Candace win. And well, it reminded me that for many years, I actually was not team Monique. I actually felt like Monique was ridiculous and she was just like super tacky. And if you go back to the old episodes, you see me just like probably railing on Monique. And then I think I started to come around to her last season. When it came to that drunk driving thing, that was really bad. Like we made fun of her a lot because, you know, it was like some said that she had, I think Ashley said she had 5. And then Monique's like, no, I only had 2. But we're still like, that's still drunk driving. I'm sorry. And like that, like drunk driving is a really, really, really serious thing. And the fact that she was like, oh, I'm just tired. So like Monique has been an asshole all this time. But like, I think we just softened on her because last season she was pregnant and she was like very chill. And then this season she has an awesome parrot. So like, we sort of forgot that.
And also, she's against Candace, who sucks. Candace sucks. She's a horrible human being. All you need to do is read her Twitter and read all the shit she says to people to know that she sucks, okay? Yeah. Like, that's not even in question to me. But yeah, you can't hit her. Now you've given her a solid win against you, Monique. Dumb.
This was a vicious, that holding on to that hair, I think that there was something very visceral about that where you're like, ooh, oh, okay, this is okay. Oh, okay, Monique, oh, you're losing this now. Yeah.
Yeah. So inside, Ashley's like, well, she talks a lot of shit and then wonders why people get angry. And Giselle's like, yeah, I have to blame Monique for this. And Robin's like, yeah, totally her fault. And Wendy goes, Giselle, I didn't sign up for this shit.
Yeah.
And Giselle's like, yeah, none of us did. Okay.
Yeah, and then and Monique in the car, she's I think she's talking to Chris, or I don't know if she's talking to Chris, but she just says at one point, she goes, well, you know, you keep talking crap and you're going to get hit. I think she was still in the barn.
Oh,
but
she was talking to Karen, yeah.
Yeah, you keep talking crap, you're going to get hit. It's like, this is, no. That's not right. That's not right.
Yeah.
It's not a right
mentality. So Candace is on her phone call, and she's like, yeah, you know what? I'll talk shit all day, but I will not put my hands on people. There's enough shit about black women fighting and scrapping, and I don't want to look like a ghetto-ass hood rat.
What I will do is I'll wave a knife in someone's face, okay?
Yeah, or swing a broken glass at their face. But
well, the broken glass, at that point, I think the broken glass was scary because that could have done some real injury. But I also feel like at that point, her hair was being tugged. There was a lot of action. And I think that I'm not sure if she broke glass.
Yeah, I agree. That was self-defense, but it was still swinging a broken glass at somebody.
I actually wonder how much she, and this is not to let her off the hook. I wonder how much she was aware of that glass being broken. Like, did she break that glass or did the glass break because of all the pandemonium? And was she just flailing whatever was in her hand? She, you know, she is a flailer. We've seen that. With the knife and with,
I mean, she was swinging
else.
That glass, whatever the hell. But she was again, swinging, again, it was, you know, she was
But it was like attacked. She was like truly under attack at that point. She really was. It wasn't like this was a shove or something. It wasn't. She was under attack.
Yeah. So Monique, just building the case against herself, is yelling, "Well, honestly, I can fight a little trick that thinks she's grown. That's what she wants." And Karen's like, "Get in the car. Someone bring the horse and carriage around, please."
Yeah. So So then Ashley starts. So then Ashley tells the woman that Monique said that Candace tried to throw a glass in her face. It's like, no, it wasn't that she tried to throw. Technically, it wasn't that she tried to throw it in your face, because she could have just thrown it in your face. It was more that she was swinging it. But again, it's not like Monique's actions were not in reaction to the glass. The glass was in defense of Monique,
right,
with the hair.
So no one's buying it anyway.
Except Giselle. Right. Yeah, Giselle's like, well, it went in her face because of the tussle.
Yeah. So then Monique calls Chris in the car, and she's like, you know, Chris, I just got into a fight with Candace, and the last thing I remember is flipping her hair. And then next thing you know, glasses are thrown, and then I grabbed her weave, and then I was bashing her head, but that's all I remember. Okay, if you're going to go with the blackout defense, you can't just, you just confessed to multiple crimes.
I know. Okay?
Like, if you blacked out, you blacked out. Just say you saw a cauliflower on the floor,
and
it put you into such depression that you blacked out, you don't remember. Don't go confess to bashing her head.
She's like, I saw a small piece of cauliflower, and then I almost saw a bigger piece of cauliflower, and then I blacked out. I don't know what happened. I think I fell asleep because I was so stressed.
Yeah. And Chris is like, well, that's embarrassing. She's like, embarrassing for who? He's like, it's embarrassing, period.
Which was his way of saying, I want to have your back because I'm your husband, but you have just embarrassed this entire family. That was what he was saying right there.
Yeah, and she's not backing down, you know? She's like, well, I don't care. She eggs people on, you know? And she thinks that people are just going to sit there while she's getting in your face. I mean, you know, what's going to happen is that it's going to come out, and she's going to realize not to disrespect people.
You know, and this just goes to show the power of s'mores, because, wow, like, if only Candace had one s'mores, I'm sure all of this would have been avoided.
Oh God,
one s'mores.
Yeah.
Once
it all started at that fire.
S'mores. Yeah. So Karen's like, well, it breaks my heart. It really does. They're good people, and this is bullshit. This whole situation stinks. If only we could spray some La Dame to freshen up the scent of this fight.
And we're pretty much out of this scene with one last close up on the cauliflower. Just one. Cauliflower. They're like, don't forget what the cauliflower went through.
You know what? Let's give some props to the mason jar, too, because there was a mason jar that was down, and I think, like, every hipster in Brooklyn was really hurt by that. No one wants to see a mason jar just helpless on a floor.
Yeah,
when there
God,
could
those
be
things
a
are sturdy.
Cocktail inside.
Yeah, those things are sturdy, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It was not broken. It was definitely not broken. Yeah. It was basically like a Chumbawamba song. It got knocked down, but it'll get up again.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial. So let's see. The morning after, Wendy is getting ready to go on TV, and she's talking to her little baby, and she's like, we are going to talk about what America needs.
Yeah, and she's basically saying how, like, the whole fight pissed her off because, like, she spends her career trying to advocate, trying to speak up for why, like, everyone deserves a seat at the table. And then a fight like that is what gives, you know, basically, like, racist ammunition to say, well, this is why we don't give people a seat at the table. And I felt for her. I felt for everyone else who felt that way at that moment, because that's a very real and unfortunate reality. Real reality. Great. I'm really killing it today. Really killing it today with my.
And then over with Giselle, she's with her kids. They're packing to go to Atlanta. And she's, you know, talking about this too. And she's like, you know, now I'm looking at my girls. I'm raising them to be strong black women. And she calls Robin on FaceTime. And she's like, they start talking about the barn. And Robin's like, I looked in her eyes and I saw the devil.
I also saw a tabletop that was about to fall off. So there was a lot going on.
Yeah. And she's like, well, Candace is annoying as hell, and she has a mouth on her, but to get physical, I can't take Monique's side at all. She's wrong.
Yeah, that's true. Robin summed it up perfectly. So, and by the way, I don't know if you mentioned it, but Giselle and her daughters are packing to go down to Atlanta for the grand reopening of Arizona's. So that's something that the entire culinary world can look forward to.
Now that's a cauliflower that's winning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really nice to see cauliflower killing it again in the same episode. You're like, look at me. Yeah. I'm grilled and delicious.
So now we go over to Candace's house, and Chris has made her some tea, and her forehead still hurts, you know, but this was shocking. She did not want to go to the doctor. And when Chris asked if she maybe had a concussion, she's like, no, I don't have a concussion. I was like, ma'am, you are on The Real Housewives. Until further notice, you just got into a scuffle. That means that you could have a full-on tumor at this point. That's the rule of Housewives.
You should be walking around like your leg is broken.
Have you never seen Shannon Bador? Did you not watch last season when she got bonged on the head?
She's like, you know, the more I think about this friendship, the more I want nothing to do with her. I mean, it's like she intended to hurt me.
Yep.
Good call.
That's usually what happens when someone grabs your hair and does not let go for 5 minutes.
Yeah, and she's like, I've apologized like 1,000 times to this woman. Like, what the hell? And, you know, the big unspoken thing here that no one's bringing up is the reason Monique is so mad is because she thinks that Candace is spreading around that she had an abortion. Now, this is all according to blogs, obviously. Oh. You know this, right? We've talked about this on the show.
I forgot that there was an abortion element. Wow.
That she didn't miscarry, that she had an abortion. That's like one of the... And by the way, I'm not saying this. This is a blog. Don't sue me. Sue Ben, okay? Ben wrote the blog. It's that, and that she's cheating on her husband and all this other stuff. So they're not mentioning that on the show, but that's why Monique is mad. That's what supposedly Monique is mad that Charisse is spreading, that she's blaming Candace for, but the one bringing up the affair over the alleged affair over and over again is Giselle. It's not Candace, but Candace has pointed Monique at Giselle has pointed Monique at Candace and said she's doing this to you.
you know who's really spread the gossip is Monique, because honestly, I really would not have known any of this if Monique had not said every single episode that Charisse has been talking shit. And then she's cryptic about it, so then we have to go to the internet to find out what the hell Charisse... Because no one cares what Charisse is saying, you know? But, like, I would not know any of this stuff if it were not for Monique. And Monique is the one who has actually fanned the flames of this in her attempt to try to put the kibosh on it. And the truth is this, if she is having issues in her marriage, then she's just, like, projecting. I mean, like, everything that she's doing is, like, the behavior of someone who's very deeply unhappy in their marriage, right? She's lashing out... She's basically just lashing out, you know, like
getting a bird,
tired all the time, being like very like regimented about s'mores. Like that's all the signs of like
those are dangerous signs
at home.
Yeah,
right?
When you're mad about s'mores, you need to look inside.
When you knock a cauliflower onto the floor in a public space, like. There's issues at home.
Yeah, you need to rethink your steps. But also Giselle, as usual, Giselle.
Right. And so Candace here is like, you know, I've apologized multiple times. And we see her that she actually has apologized. So that is a fair point. But then she's like, it just makes zero sense. It's like, well, don't also forget that they were all talking about Ashley, et cetera. And then you were the one who could not help yourself by saying like, oh, well, Monique pretends to be asleep when I'm around her. Monique's pretending to be asleep.
And it's twirling like, so you around did, like, and all that.
You did like start this and you did get the ball rolling on this situation.
Yeah, and doing her Kenya twirls.
Yeah, so don't say it makes zero sense.
Yeah, so Karen is making a birthday dinner for Ray. I'm in here rattling pots and pans for your birthday, Ray.
Yes, Ray, normally you're the one who rattles the pots and pans, but today you get the day off. It's your special day. I shall rattle the pots and pans. Clank, clank, clank.
And he's like, you look good in the kitchen. You like it? Is it sexy? Don't get used to it, Ray.
Yeah, so she's had a chef come over. She's had a chef come over to cook some Chilean sea bass, also known as Patagonian toothfish, for Ray. And Karen says she now has her own issues to deal with now. Ray. I don't know why I wrote that down.
Ray. I love that Karen acts like she's so confused about what's going on. They need to get a marriage therapist because they just don't understand. He's told you got a business, you're never home. And that's it.
He wants to go to Florida. He wants to go to Florida.
Yeah.
You know?
You keep asking what's wrong, and he keeps telling you what's wrong, okay? Now, I'm not saying he's right. I think you should have the right to have your business and do all that. Screw that. But
I think I don't know, Ronnie. I think I actually found the real source of their issues, because when Karen goes and sits down next to Ray at, like, on some stools, and she's seated next to these, like, three candle holders. Did you see these candle holders?
No.
They were like metallic. They were metal. It wasn't like metallic, like, ooh, a shiny. It wasn't like a chrome. It was like the metal of, like,
was it like gold?
No, it was like metal. It was like gray metal. It was like gray, dull metal. These candle. I almost want you to look these up while I try to describe it. But here's the thing. So they were candle holders, candlesticks, but they were shaped like columns, like marble columns, like Ionic columns or Doric columns.
Yeah, it's very
columns.
Tuesday morning.
Right? But here's the twist. On top of the columns, they all had like tree trunks, and the candle goes in the tree trunk that's on the column, and it's all metal.
Ooh, you know I love some tree art.
No, but this is like, I was like, how did these come into Karen's house? Why were these chosen? I think the judgment behind these candlesticks is really what is causing Ray to grow distant. He's like, who is this wife of mine who brings these terrible candlesticks into our home?
Well, when you're a home goods shopper, you don't really choose what comes into your life. It chooses you, okay? There's a season for it. The day she happened to be at Home Goods, that was what was on sale, okay?
It was tree stumps on columns.
I love some tree stump art. So she's like, you know, my husband doesn't like me being a businesswoman instead of his wife. So maybe we should get a life coach. Okay. I'll go along with this. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Life coach is classic on Bravo.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm trying to understand the difference between a life coach and a therapist. And she's like, wait, there's a huge difference. And then she tells us, she's like, there's not really a difference.
Yeah. Well, one was accredited by getting an advanced degree, and the other one got a piece of paper at the back of TJ Maxx and wrote their name on it and said, I'm a life coach.
Yeah. So she's like, switching gears, right? I've been invited back to participate in the homecoming, right? I'm thinking of inviting the girls, Ray. But unfortunately, last night, there was a physical altercation, Ray.
He's like, does any of this have to do with us moving to Florida? Otherwise, I don't care.
Yeah. He's like, who was the instigator this time? She's like, both. Ashley revealed that those pictures on Instagram of Michael and his boxers were Michael. And we all wanted to know if Michael tapped it, of course. And she said no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, because he's like, so what was he doing? And she just goes.
She did. Her laugh was so funny. Like,
I couldn't even. It's like it was like an evil elf in like a movie. Like, I just tricked you.
Yeah. And Ray, I mean, that's the perfect question. How has nobody asked that?
Yeah. So then Ray is. Yeah, that's true. And so Ray is like, so. Did it also come out that he also likes men? And she's like, Ray! He's like, well, I mean, why would he confess to trying to have sex with a woman and then he couldn't do it? Ray, you're being mean. Not necessarily wrong, but you're being mean.
Yeah, Ray actually has all the legit questions, by the way.
I know, there's a lot of blacking out happening with guilty parties on this show recently.
Yeah, and then we get a clip of Candace saying, well, he likes to bring up sausage, and he says that he would like to suck a sausage. So I'm glad we can keep it in gay panic mode here, everybody.
Good. And I love gay panic sometimes.
Yeah, glad we're all still panicked about homosexuality, guys. So, ding dong, and who's here to save the day? Why?
The chef.
It's the chef. Oh, yeah. I was going to the radio. Karen has a lot of guests today, okay? Karen's like her own talk show today. She's got a lot of guests coming on. First is the cooking segment. You're right.
Yeah, the chef. The chef has arrived and is teaching Karen how to cook, basically, which basically comes down to Karen putting a piece of sea bass in a pan. Look, I did it! And then they cook this meal, which actually looks very delicious. I was like, I kind of want to make sea bass tonight with like Asian inspired vegetables. And then I thought it was sort of funny because they make this dinner, and then like they serve the dinner, and then Karen and Ray just sit there to eat the dinner, and then the chef is just standing there like, so should I stay here? Am I supposed to leave? Like, where do I go next?
Yeah, this is the trouble with open concept kitchens.
Yeah, the chef just hides behind the island. So then so they're like, then it's like Laffy. It's like, you know, Ray's like, oh, so when are you gonna do this again? And Karen's like, oh, Ray. And I don't know if you noticed this, the generic music they were playing in the background, it did this like musical progression that I swear was Beauty and the Beast. It was like the typical Potomac music, like brum, 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 and then went brum, 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 brum. I was like, hey, can I make you a comment? Beauty and the Beast.
Little Karen squeal for you. So then we go to Atlanta, where Giselle is with her kids in a hotel, and she's like, this is a big weekend for the Bryants. We are relaunching Arizona's.
At last is what we've all been waiting for. Big Arizona relaunch.
Yeah, so she's staying there because the kids aren't used to her being with Jamal yet. So she's like, you know, I figured this would be the easiest. And then over at Monique's house, Monique is trying to talk to Chris, but she's also doing Milani's hair, and she's just abusing poor Milani.
No, poor Milani. Monique's having hair issues this episode because she's so caught up to talking to Chris that she's not paying attention to her poor daughter, who's like, it's cold. Ow, mommy, ow.
So she's like, I'm very much exhausted with these shenanigans. What are your feelings, Chris? And he's like, I'm disappointed. You shouldn't be fighting. I like that couple, and I don't like that you're physically hitting. It's not cool. It's not a good image.
She's like, I don't care about my image, okay? This is reality, okay? She talks crazy to everybody, and you know what? Her mom should have popped her a long time ago. She's off the chain with her. I was like, okay, Monique, this is I'm not sure this is great for your Not For Lazy Moms branding. I don't know.
Yeah, at some point you have to say, you know what? Hitting her was wrong, but I got, you know, just like, I shouldn't have hit her. That was wrong of me, but yeah. I was very angry. I mean, even that, something.
It's like a day later, you've slept on it. Like, just say it.
Yeah, not one single person has even hinted that you were in the right there, you know?
Yeah.
So she's like, well, I got back home and I told Chris everything that I could remember. And he didn't like that. And football players have an image to uphold. But that's not my concern.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of bad if a football player is like, listen, you were getting too physical.
I literally throw people to the ground for a living. And even I think you got too physical.
My job description is defense. Like, my job description is in the words of violence and clashing. And I thought you were too physical.
Ow, mom, it's too cold in the water.
So, yeah, Monique is basically like, this is a long time coming. And you know what? My parents told me not to start a fight, but when you're being threatened, you step on the foot and you pull the hair and you punch the face.
Jeez.
That's really... And all this time, by the way, Chris is eating like a little Danish from Starbucks, which cracked me up. I don't know. I always think it's so funny when he holds small things. It's like the Danish in his hands. It looked like he had like a little crumble, like a little bit of a saltine in it or something.
I know. To a regular person, it would be like a sheet pan. But to him, it's like this little.
It just looked like a crumb. It looked like a stamp. It looked like he was eating a postage stamp.
Yeah. And then it gets to commercial, and the weirdest commercial comes on, okay? It's a diaper commercial.
Uh-oh.
And it says, Candace has poise. Poise under pressure and poise in her pants. I was like, what?
Beauty and the Beast. A lot of subliminal messages in this episode. Two things I would not expect to hear. Candace has poise, and what was the other one? She's cool in the pants or something?
Poise under pressure and poise in her pants. Who wrote that copy?
Poise on the side. Poise in the hood.
That girl's got poise in her pants.
Poisonberry.
Okay. Let's go to the restaurant, Arizona. Oh, no. They're going to... Giselle's at a restaurant with her kids to meet up with her dad. It's like a
donut pastry place. Yeah.
Giselle must be scheduling her own filming because she's going to as many pastry places as humanly possible this season.
And I was like, this is really cruel to be showing this like on Yom Kippur. Although I'm being a bad Jew this year, I'm not really doing well with my fasting, as in I broke my fast like 3 times already.
Dude,
I'm sorry.
Dude, you just pulled a Monique and confessed. Like, this is being recorded.
I blacked out. I had an M&M and I blacked out. I don't know what happened afterwards.
When you get to heaven one day, they're going to play this at your trial.
Well, I did it for the podcast. I was like, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. And then if I don't eat anything and I don't have a lot of sleep, I'm just gonna be a monster on this podcast. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do that to you, Ronnie. I didn't want to do it for Monique. I didn't want to do it to Candace. And I definitely did not want to do it to Karen Huger. She deserves better.
Thank you. It's so sweet. So they're basically small talk. It's like, tell Grandpa what you're up to in high school. She's like, it's a lot more work. And then she's like, okay, now leave so I can talk to your grandpa. Yeah.
So she's like, well, I did want to tell you something, Dad. There's a guy in my life, and he's not your favorite. It's their dad. And, you know, we've been able to maintain a great friendship, and I feel a lot of growth and maturity coming from him, so we're going to try to get the family back together again, so that way he can cheat on me and ruin everything. What do you think, Dad?
Oh my God, this poor dad. He's fucking dad. Like, I'm gonna drag my dad on camera to get to get his approval on camera so everyone will get off my ass. And this guy feels the pressure. He's like, I want you to be happy. I would never step in the way of your happiness.
Yeah. I think at this point he's realized I'm too old to care about this, and she's too old for my advice. So if she's going to go down this path, she's just going to go down this path. Listen, she bought me a donut. Can I really complain?
Yeah. So then we go over to the Darbys and Bobby Dean. Wah, wah.
That was a delicious bottle. Thanks, Mom. Next time, can I have the Corona? Wah, wah.
Well, look at there. Has Dean been a very good boy? I'm sorry. I was out walking around the house. She's like, I'm tired. You know, I'm waking up at midnight, 2, 4, 6. Tell me about it. Last week I was in a hotel and just couldn't get to sleep.
But it's amazing. I can't remember anything that happened, even though I knew I couldn't fall asleep. So Ashley's like, okay, I'm going to go put Dean down. Okay. He's like, and then we can have our time. I haven't really seen you much ever since you got mad at me for cheating on you.
Well, it's been so long. I haven't been with you since, let's see, that time you actually ate a salad on camera because you were so angry.
Well, I do hope you do put the baby down, because it's not that I'm jealous of the baby, but I will say, if you don't put him down for his nap soon, I'll probably go back out to the strip club. Just saying.
I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm just saying it's your fault. So she's like,
that goes for you, little baby Dean.
She goes, in a dramatic turn of events, no one's talking about Michael's infidelity anymore. Now it's about Candace and Monique fighting.
So let's have a scene where we talk about him cheating. So Dean is finally
I was like, God, hey. You finally got a reprieve.
Hey, Ashley, my wife, do you want to share my beer? There, that shows that I'm a loyal husband sharing my beer with you.
I did pump recently, so I guess I can. Now, I know that we haven't had much time to do this with the baby and all, but we've both done things in our relationship that have contributed to this point. But when did you start feeling something was off?
I think it started happening when you got pregnant and I realized I didn't want to be with you anymore, so I went to the strip club. Something like that.
Kind of. His wording is so weird. He goes, I feel more comfortable in our relationship, knowing it's more stable. But I also look forward to that intimacy that wasn't connected to our relationship. What the fuck kind of way is... Like, to say I miss the intimacy is one thing, but saying I miss intimacy that wasn't connected to our... What does that mean? Like, I miss... agreed to stop cheating on each other, and I miss that?
It means that I have a paper to review, and I've got a call at 1:30, so let's wrap this up, Ashley, all right?
And she's like, well, I thought the sex part was not connected. And he's like, listen, our relationship is love and looking after each other on the and the baby. So it sounds like he's saying he likes their relationship. He loves where their relationship is, but he still wants to go have sex with people, right?
I couldn't, honestly, I couldn't tell. He was being very slippery. It sounded like he was, at first it sounded like he was just saying, oh, well, basically we weren't having sex, so I got horny. And then it sounded like he was saying, well, I liked having sex with strangers. That's what we used to do. And then it was like, oh, but I shouldn't have had sex. I really couldn't tell. He was being very vague.
Oh, this fucking guy. Guys like this, you know, they're caught red-handed, and what do they do? Well, maybe it wasn't right. Maybe it wasn't right. Dude. Yeah.
Listen, my question is this. You said you were just doing some pumping. Who's pumping, and when can I meet her?
And she's like, well, how do I know you're not going to do it again? He's like, well, because you told me I can't. She's like, how do I know you'll be able to resist? And he's like, well, I'll have to, won't I?
He's talking as if he just, like, broke his diet. Like, well, maybe... You know what? I should not have ordered that for a Pacino, and I was tempted, but you know what? Next time it won't happen. Anyway, let's check out my rewards card. It's like, yes. No, he's being so, like, cavalier about this. It's like, you, like, made your wife look like an idiot on TV. You betrayed her trust. Like,
Again. So she's like, well, there's always going to be a temptation. I mean, will you be able to resist? He's like, oh, I have to. She's like, well, I was thinking about okay, so now here comes Ashley, the boss. She's like, okay, yeah. We're going to go post-nup. And that basically means that me and Dean will get money in case you do this again. And he's like,
and yeah.
Well, we can look at that. I was like, well, you got him.
Well, but notice he didn't say yes. He said, well, we can definitely look into that. I mean, I'm open to almond milk, but I prefer, you know, heavy cream. But okay, we can look into that.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it wasn't a solid yes.
He's like, I just want to make sure that you're happy because I want to look after you. And your happiness, I know, is based on how happy I am. And I'd be happier if I could sleep with some other people outside the marriage. What do you think?
Oh, my God, this guy. So she tells us that they had a prenup and it expired after 5 years. Right. And then we see her. Didn't she renew that prenup?
It was a whole thing. It was like the whole arc. Like, was she going to? No, I think she didn't as a sign of trust. It was a whole thing. Or she signed it. It was either that she signed a prenup as a sign of trust or she didn't sign anything as a sign of trust. It was just a stupid moment.
I thought it was that she wasn't going to sign it. Because the 5 years was coming up, so she wasn't going to sign it. But then she said that in this clip, she says that she will sign it because it's a show of trust or whatever. So now she's saying, in the event of a divorce, I'll receive 50%. So there, sucker.
Yeah, I guarantee it's not going to happen.
50%?
Well, he did not commit to that post-nup, and I guarantee he is going to twist it into... You know, if you want me to change my ways, I need to have a sign of faith that you believe in me. So this post-nup puts a lot of pressure on me, and I feel like it means that there's distrust. And I feel like the only way that I can devote myself to you is knowing that there's no documents in our way.
Eesh. All right. So then Giselle takes her kids to the restaurant, and they meet the manager, Tamira.
What do these kids do? What do these kids do to deserve this fate that, like... Like, hey, we have a special surprise for you. You're all owners of this terrible restaurant outside of Atlanta. Oh, and guess what? Now you have to work in it. It's like, what is this awful, like, gift? It's a gift that keeps on giving in the worst way.
Yeah, they're like, well, we're gonna make you work for one day, okay? Because you don't live here. And so you're not going to have jobs here. Okay.
Was that what it was? For some reason, I had it in my head that they were moving, like, were the kids being dropped off in Atlanta for the summer? They were going to have to work at the restaurant for the summer.
Oh, I don't know.
I was building that narrative in my head. I don't know if it was accurate or not, but it was like, it was starting to become very compelling in my head.
Oh, I don't know. Well, that makes more sense. They're basically getting trained so they know how to work every part of the restaurant. And one of them's like, do you make your own lemonade? And Tamira's like, every single morning. Which, is it real? Is it real lemons? I need to know the answer to this question.
Let me tell you something. Arizona's, this is a place that their ginger ale is 7-Up with a splash of Coke. That's what this place is.
So let's see.
So I would say no, there are no real lemons at Arizona's.
Yeah, just a guess there.
So yeah, the kids also had their first experience in a walk-in freezer, which was funny. And they're like, it's so cold in here. Why are we in here? Why are you doing this to us, mother?
It's all the dead things separated by kind of dead thing. They're like, oh. So Giselle is in her interview, and the producer's like, so how many kids does Jamal have? And she says, well, I decided I'm not going to speak on kids I did not give birth to. It's not fair to them or their mothers. The end.
No, that it was mothers, plural.
Yes, so, I did. I was like, how many? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. How many are there?
I wonder if we'll find out soon enough. So then we go back over to Karen, who's moving chairs around her living room for no good reason. And the therapy session is about to begin, basically. And so Karen tells us, well, you know, Angela's coming over. She does what she calls it pillow talk. And she finds fun ways to reconnect. Like, for instance, have you ever plugged in a pillow to a power outlet? That's called reconnecting with a pillow talk. Anyway, we need a little help because this disconnect is not cool.
And Angela has a radio show called like Love
Pillow
Connection.
Talk.
Or
no, it's called Pillow Talk.
Did you say
that's
oh
why
yeah,
Pillow
yeah,
Talk.
Yeah.
There's a show called Pillow Talk. Keep up.
Sorry. I just keep thinking of Two and Two, Love Connection. So of course Karen, to get help, has to get someone with a goddamn platform. She can't just call a doctor. It's gotta be someone with a radio show. So Angela comes in with her silky smooth voice.
Yeah, it's really distracting watching Angela talk because it's one of those things where her voice is so radio-friendly, like so radio-y, that it feels like when she's talking, she's being dubbed over. Did you get that sense?
Yes, because she's so smooth. And now we're going to cut to this ad.
Yeah. My goal is to get couples talking and really listening to how to really love. Okay, so let's talk about your love language. Well, our love language is a little rusty right now. Sort of like our microwave from 1985. Just a little rusty.
My love language is phones with cords on them, and Ray's love language is toaster ovens with cords on them.
So are you still intimate? Yes, I am intimately acquainted with my Laserdisc player. It works quite well, but the worst part is when you have to flip that damn thing over midway through the movie.
And Ray's like, well, there was a time when the wind blew and I'm ready. And now, I mean, I don't need a hurricane, but and she starts cracking up. So then the next question is, what's one trait that annoys you the most about Ray?
Oh, well, he snores horribly. And then and what's one trait about Karen that annoys you? Well, she's always busy and doesn't have time for me and neglects me and started a new company and never had time for me and our marriage is in shit right now. It's like, oh, okay, so snoring versus everything else.
Yeah, so something you can't change about yourself to things you have total control over. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. So he's Karen's like, yes, well, I started a company. I started a strain?
It started? Like she has a
It started a strain.
I put a strain. I actually did start a strain of something. The Andromeda strain. It's back, and I started it.
Yeah, I've started my own strain. The Carinoma virus, all right? It's don't catch it. You'll get fabulous.
Yes, here's the first symptom of coronavirus. You just become a boss. You start calling out for security.
Once you catch the Carinoma virus, you just start dancing like Beyonce, and you can't help it.
You'll know you have Carinoma virus if you start going, ah!
So Ray's like, I mean, look, after a while, you just start to say, okay, you know? Like, what about me over here? And she's like, well, what would you like, Ray? If you could have anything, what would you want? Right now. He's like, attention, okay? I want fucking attention. Also, you used to cook more.
Oh, Ray, I find that insulting, okay? I find it very insulting. He's like, well, you know, when you think about it, you know, you would cook because you were cooking for the kids, and the kids leave, and then there's, like, no reason to cook anymore. Just, like, just stupid old Ray over here in the corner just packing his bags for Florida, waiting for someone to feed him. That's what I am.
Men, you know, men, seriously, we really are much easier than we pretend to. Ray's mad he doesn't get dinner.
You know what? Someone has to introduce Ray to Postmates, okay? Like, it's just, there's an easy solve. Or how about he cooks himself? I mean, obviously Karen's not that good of a chef if she had to, like, if her only contribution to Seabass Night was putting the thing in the pan.
So Karen's like, honestly, sweetie, you don't date me. You stop planting that love bug. The reason to keep the fuzzy feeling, Ray. I'm a very passionate woman. I need to know that you're in love with me, Ray. I need to know you're in love, Ray.
And, well, I mean, Karen, are you in love?
Yes, I'm in love. I'm in love with Ray. Just look at him. He's just lurching over there on that seat, looking like he's about to pass out with boredom and hunger. Look at him. I love that man.
How do you know you're in love?
Because I can't imagine a day without him. I can't imagine a day without Ray. He's the last thing I think of before I go to sleep. The first thing I think of when I wake up in the morning. The thing I think of at lunch in the middle of the day. Ray!
Sometimes I used to stroll around Radio Shack and see lots of bits and pieces, and I'd be like, that's Ray! There's another Ray! There's another Ray! Sometimes I see a dehumidifier, and I'm like, oh, it's Ray again!
And so she's like, okay, Ray, now it's your turn. I'm going to ask you the same question. Are you in love with Karen? And he's like, I think I am, but I did just get a piece of fish. So... That might
after
be tilting 23 me.
Years, you don't know. I mean, how many pieces of sea bass do I have to put into a pan for someone else to cook before you realize you're in love with me?
Well, I knew at one point I love you, and I think I'm in love with you, but it doesn't feel the way it did 20 years ago. That's not bad. It's just different. It's like, well, that is a huge discovery for me. A very painful one, but everyone knows I'm in love with you. But you, Ray.
I wasn't aware that we were still in the discovery phase of our relationship, but apparently we are.
Yeah, and so Radio Lady's like, well, my listeners want their spouse to tell them the truth, even if it hurts. And she's like, well, good for your listeners. Good for your emotionally dead inside listeners. Thanks a lot, Ray!
We have a long-distance dedication coming in for Karen from Ray, and it says, let's move to Florida, baby. Hit it.
Keep smiling, keep shining. No, okay.
So she leaves, and then Karen's like, yeah, I didn't expect to hear that, dude. And he's like, well, what I said was I believed I was in love with you. She's like, oh, you don't know? He's like, well, I just said you're a little different than the person that I married. She's like, well, no one stays the same, Ray.
Nothing lasts forever in the cold November rain, Ray. Okay, well, you know what? I really appreciate your honesty, but I don't have to like it. That's what people say about my fragrance, too, yeah. Which I also don't appreciate.
So she goes upstairs and starts crying. She's like, take my mic off. I need to breathe. Which is really sad, but it's also, I don't know. I can't help but think, like, here's this guy. You become a real housewife and become famous, and then you're never home. You're always out. Then you have a business. You're always out. You're always out. And then to even have the therapy, it's all on camera, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of
also don't,
it.
You know, it, also, you know that, like, you sense that things are awry in your marriage, and you know that therapy is going to dig up some things you probably don't want to hear. It can be very scary. And then you're shocked that it's going to happen. I mean, I understand why she was upset, but also, like, I mean, how many times does he have to go clattering about in the kitchen before you realize that there's, like, an issue? Like, you know, it's like, isn't it like when, you know, like when your pet is like, when you're, if your dog's like rubbing its butt on the carpet, it like, it needs attention. Or does that mean it has worms? It's, either way, if Ray is clattering in the kitchen, something is awry. And guess what he does right after she goes upstairs? He goes into the kitchen to clatter around.
Yeah, move some pots and pans around.
Pots and pans.
Hooray! So then Giselle is at the restaurant, and there's a ton of people there because it's the Oats of Ribbon Cutting.
A lot of people who are, I don't know what they were promised, but there were a lot of people at Arizona's.
Yeah, they really were. So now the girls are going to be trained. They get paired up with a manager, a waitress, and a hostess. And yeah. They get trained. It's really cute.
And Giselle's talking about how her dad's supporting her. Because that right before that, there was like that ribbon cutting thing. And she's like, well, my dad is supporting me. My dad is here to support me. And you just see Curtis. He's like, just just eat the steak and keep your mouth quiet. There's no need to comment. Just get through. You'll get through this, Curtis. You'll get through this.
So then they all sit down together, and just I was like, wow, it was very different from yesterday. Daddy, we were here yesterday, and there couldn't be 10 people here. Wow, look at this. It's like, wow. Sounds like a really sound business choice.
Sounds like a great restaurant. I'm glad you fixed it in one day by doing nothing. Sounds like everything's fixed. So Giselle's saying, so the kids, again, they eat their dessert, and then they're like, they go off to, you know, it's bad when they actually go off to work in the kitchen instead of hanging out with their parents. So
yeah,
Giselle's saying like, well, Jamal, my dad just wants us to be happy. And he's like, well, thank you, Mr. Graves. It means a lot. And Curtis is like, I want you to be happy. Bottom line, that's why I'm staring off into space right now at the reality that my prize daughter is going back to your cheating ways. I'll just stare at the steak.
Yeah, he's like, now if you'll excuse me, I'm gonna poop. So he leaves, and Giselle's like, wow, I thought you were gonna ask for my hand in marriage. And Jamal's like, yeah, we might have some rivers to cross before we get to that. And then we get rivers some juicy dad backstage footage.
Yeah, this is fun. I was like, why are we ending in Arizona's of all places, this crazy episode? And here's why. Poor dad, he didn't realize, he doesn't know the ways of reality TV, and he's like taking his microphone off, and you just hear his voice. He's going, he's like, this is not a good move for her. You know, I mean, this guy's got 6-7 baby mamas. Do you want to deal with that again? I mean, as a father, you think, got to think about this. I mean, I'm done.
Yeah, he's like, get my microphone off. Good for him.
I loved that. I mean, Jamal is, he is such a creep. He is a phony. He is a creep. I don't know what, I mean, I think that Giselle is just really lonely, and she is like once been twice shy or something. I don't know why she's going back to Jamal. It's terrible.
Yeah, Jamal sucks. Giselle, what are you doing?
Yeah, stupid. Stupid.
Oh my gosh. Well, that brings us to the end of a pretty intense episode.
Yeah, we did it. So we'll be back tomorrow with some Below Deck Mediterranean. And yeah, and then on Wednesday, we got Selling Sunset season finale, followed by Great British Bake Off and Roni Secrets Revealed. So we'll talk to you on the next episode, guys.
Bye.
All right.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel's in, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Janin better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordis, the Lordess of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.